Catching you up on local news, COVID-19 numbers are still holding steady in North Carolina. So yesterday, Governor Roy Cooper announced that beginning October 5th, school districts will have the option of returning to fully in-person classes again for elementary schools. No change for middle and high schools, but elementary schools can. At a press conference yesterday, Cooper said he was proud of the steps residents have taken to limit the spread of COVID-19.
Of all the disruptions COVID-19 has created, education is the most challenging to address. As the school year has started, I know that many parents are facing difficult choices and nearly impossible balancing acts between work, other obligations, and dealing with their children being home. Parenting is hard enough without a pandemic. Same goes for teaching or running a school. Our teachers, principals, and school support staff are doing more than ever. And we want to make sure that all of these options are safe for them. The number one opening priority during this pandemic has been our schools, and our continuing progress in fighting the spread of this virus is allowing us to do a little more. The more people wear masks and act responsibly, the more we slow the spread of the virus, and the more children we can get safely in our schools.
Governor Roy Cooper speaking there. News and Observer reporting that the State Teachers Union, the North Carolina Association of Educators, is opposing the change. They're encouraging teachers to lobby school boards to stick with online learning for now, at least until it's safer for everyone to meet in person again. The Orange County Health Department is holding a free COVID-19 testing event in Hurdle Mills tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Latticeville Grove Missionary Baptist Church. Unfortunately, the pandemic is continuing to take a toll on local businesses, and we've got several pieces of news just in the last few hours. Elmo's Diner in Carrboro was rumored to be closing earlier in the week. We spoke with owners of Elmo's then, and they told us that those rumors were false. Today, though, the ownership of Elmo's came out with a public statement saying that they were, in fact, going to be closed permanently. They have been closed ever since March, when the pandemic really began. In their statement today, owners said that those social media rumors from earlier in the week were false, but they did force ownership to reflect on the situation, and they did ultimately decide earlier today to close for good. Also permanently closing, Blue Spoon Micro Creamery in downtown Chapel Hill. That's on Franklin Street. And City Kitchen in University Place Mall has confirmed that it is also closing permanently too, although in their statement they said that closure was not related to COVID-19. In fact, it involved a lease disagreement with University Place Mall. In local government news, Orange County commissioners passed a resolution this week urging the General Assembly to decriminalize marijuana, just one small part of a much larger conversation. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras with more on this issue.
On September 1st, Orange County Commissioner Penny Rich submitted a petition proposing that the board pass a resolution to decriminalize marijuana. On Tuesday, the board voted 6-1 to approve the resolution, with the one dissenting vote coming from Commissioner Earl McKee. According to Rich, the goal of this resolution is to foster a community that rejects oppression and inequity. The resolution states that the current prohibition of marijuana has caused the needless arrest and incarceration of thousands of individuals, predominantly people of color, for nonviolent crimes.
And so, you know, my hope is after election and we hopefully turn the General Assembly blue, that we'll get some, we could shed some light on this.
The Board of Commissioners requests that the North Carolina General Assembly advocate for legislation to end the prohibition of marijuana at the federal level, with its removal from the Controlled Substance Act. While there is a similar bill regarding the decriminalization of marijuana written by North Carolina Senator Valerie Fouché, Rich said that bill has yet to see the light of day after being filed in February of 2019.
I mean, this is a racial justice issue. It just ruins young, mostly African-American and people of color's lives, and it's got to change. We got to stop doing that. That's part of that systematic racism that we're consistently talking about. This is a good step forward.
According to an American Civil Liberties Union study, as a result of racial bias, Black North Carolinians are over 3 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession. The resolution states that these arrests can have a significant impact on housing, student loans, future employment, and child custody determinations. With the passing of this resolution, the Orange County Board of Commissioners is publicly announcing its desire for new legislation that expunges records of individuals previously convicted for crimes of marijuana distribution, possession, or use. To read the full resolution, or to learn more of what was discussed at the latest Board of Commissioners meeting, visit orangecountync.gov. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
That meeting of county commissioners also included a long public hearing on the proposed Research Triangle Logistics Park, RTLP for short. That's a 160-acre light industrial development that would go just south of Hillsboro if it's approved. The proposal has drawn significant opposition from nearby residents, but the Hillsboro-Orange County Chamber of Commerce has now weighed in to support the plan. The public hearing will continue this coming Tuesday, the 22nd. You can head to orangecountync.gov for more info on the project and a link to the live stream for Tuesday's meeting. Meanwhile, on campus, UNC Chapel Hill continues to place highly in national college rankings. The Wall Street Journal and Times Higher Education just released their annual list of America's top universities. UNC ranked 33rd for the second year in a row. Finally, good business-related news. Film Fest 919 is coming back for its third year in Chapel Hill. This year's festival will run a little bit longer, from October 14th through the 31st. Movie theaters are still closed, of course, so this year the festival is heading outside with screenings at the Southern Village Green and a newly constructed permanent drive-in theater, which is set to open at Caraway Village in Northern Chapel Hill. And time now for sports, with the Tar Heel women's soccer team getting their season underway in a big way. They beat yesterday's rain and got their season off to a good start with a 4-1 win over Wake Forest. Rachel Jones leading the way with two goals, including the game winner in the first half. Carolina back in action on Sunday, hosting Virginia Tech at 1 p.m. Also on Sunday, UNC field hockey heads to Wake for its own season opener, and UNC men's soccer hosts NC State in a preseason scrimmage. UNC football does not have a game this Saturday. The game against Charlotte has been canceled. Carolina's looking to add an opponent for next Saturday, the 26th. That's currently a bye week. They haven't added an opponent yet, but we'll let you know as soon as we get more info on that. In the meantime, though, good news for the parents of Tar Heel players. They've been pushing the governor to make an exception to the state's mass gathering rules so they could watch the games in Keenan Stadium. Inside Carolina now reporting state officials will allow up to 350 people in the stadium to attend the games, at least two family members per player. Same goes for parents of NC State players as well. What is not clear yet, though, is whether Orange County will be enforcing its own mass gathering limit, which is even tighter than the state level restriction. Turning to college basketball, this year's Maui Invitational Tournament will be played in spite of the pandemic, but it will not be played in Maui. Instead, this year's Maui Invitational will take place in Asheville, North Carolina, much closer to home. UNC is slated to play in this year's event, along with Alabama, Davidson, Indiana, Providence, Texas, and UNLV. Stanford was originally supposed to play, but they have pulled out. The tourney usually takes place on Thanksgiving week this year due to myriad scheduling changes. It'll be the week after Thanksgiving this time around. And finally, in lacrosse, congrats to UNC senior midfielder Tanner Cook. He was taken fifth overall by Calgary in last night's Major League Lacrosse draft. Cook will be back at UNC, though, for his senior year this spring. 5:30 is your time. More local news for you. Yesterday, we reported that the UNC System Board of Governors signed off on a plan to give the system president more power in future chancellor searches by allowing the president to choose up to two candidates not vetted by campus search committees and requiring the board to send at least one of those two back to the president for final consideration. With more on the new policy, 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell.
Some board members expressed concern about this policy change, saying it could lead to chancellorships becoming, quote, a dumping ground for former politicians and a giving too much power to the president. System leadership, including President Peter Hans and Board Chair Randy Ramsey, said the amendment is meant to retain and promote talent already within the UNC system. Hans said while it would give his position more discretion in the decision-making, he gave an absolute pledge to maintaining collaborative search processes between himself, the system, and individual campuses.
I value the input of the campus community, from the trustees to the students, the faculty, the staff, alumni, other members of the community that often serve on these campus search committees. I think through consultation with them as together we work together to develop a strong, deep pool in these future searches, will only yield better results.
Hans also clarified the policy change will not be applied to the ongoing searches for chancellor at East Carolina University and Fayetteville State. The system president also opened Thursday's meeting by revealing the university system's enrollment for the current academic year, which increased by around 1% compared to 2019 and 2020.
And this is an extraordinary achievement in the face of unprecedented disruption across our state, across the world, across higher education. The fact that our institutions were able to welcome a record-breaking class of students this fall in the midst of a national crisis is remarkable.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.